Hey, Astrid.
Happy episode one.
Yes, excited to be starting this project with you.
Here we go. Welcome to the first episode of Meet Me by the Dumpster, a podcast about the messy middle of all things work. We are two former colleagues turned close friends and want to start this podcast to explore different issues that we've come up against in the workplace.
I'm excited. In this first episode, we're going to go back in time a little bit and give you a little bit of a history on how we met as work colleagues, how we worked together, how we eventually became friends, and our thoughts on the term work bestie. And you will find out too how a dumpster became our go-to meeting spot.
So Mary, what was your first impression of me?
Yeah, I definitely remember my first impression of you. It was really interesting how we met because at the company that I was working for at the time, I actually interviewed you for the job. And I just remember it was a virtual interview. This was like long before remote was a thing, but you were living in China at the time. And I just remember that, you know, you were just like so polished and professional, and I could just really tell how bad you wanted that job. And I think that at that time for myself, I was also in a place in my career where I really wanted to prove myself and I really wanted to like stand out and make an impact. And so I think that like seeing that energy from you, I appreciated that energy from you because I felt like I was very much in the same career place at that time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you appreciated my over-eagerness. But yeah, I remember because of the time difference, it was so early in the morning and it was on Skype and just you with your cute little pixie cut at the time and our other colleague and just your enthusiasm for the company. And it was all these more behavioral questions that I'd never been asked before. And so I remember leaving the interview and feeling a little bit, you know, you've got a lot of adrenaline and you finish something, you're almost sort of buzzed. And it was still so early. So I crawled back into bed. I was just like, I have absolutely no idea how that went. But yeah, your enthusiasm was definitely really clear. And I think it's also just funny because now I know you so well. But in that instance, you were very much someone I needed to impress. You were the decision maker. And so it's just funny to think back on that. I'm like, oh, I hope she liked my answers. I hope I did a good job.
Yeah. And thinking about that interview, it was a culture interview, which is, for those who don't know, you know, kind of a coded way to describe like to suss out if someone is going to like fit the culture of the company, which can in some ways be negative, or it can feel like, oh, this person must align or must have the same kind of values. And, you know, culture interviews can definitely be problematic for sure.
Yeah, definitely a future episode topic for sure. I think we also connected because we were both in a bit of a transition period. You had left teaching. I was returning to the U.S. and going to be working in North America for the first time. So we were definitely both in a phase of, this is my first job in a new environment. I need to impress. It was also very much the girl boss era.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely like hustle, grind, like, you know, prove yourself, show your worth, which I think at the time I really ate that up and like definitely like drank the Kool-Aid on that. Mm-hmm.
A good example would be Mary's password was I love company name. So not only was she drinking the Kool-Aid, this was she was making the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, it's incredibly embarrassing, but I did feel I felt that just time in my life, it was just such a huge part of who I was. And I think I attached so much meaning and sort of attached my identity to work in so many ways at that time.
This company also did a good job. It felt a little cool kid. The office was in Soho, a lot of exposed brick, you know, a lot of beer in the fridge.
For sure.
So I think we definitely both bought into that. And I think I definitely felt like I am lucky to be here. this is so cool. It felt a little bit like one of those jobs where, you know, I don't know, when you're 16 and you picture yourself like, I'm in New York City walking to my Soho office with my iced coffee. Like, I have made it. And I think I definitely felt a sense of, I'm so lucky to be here. And what do I need to do to stay here?
For sure. I agree with that. As you mentioned, I did a really big transition as well. So I was a teacher for 5 years before I got into tech. And so this job was like sort of like my lifeline. Like, I got out of teaching and I was like, oh, wow, there's a whole world out there. And, you know, you can leave work and not have to take things home with you. And you can, yeah, they'll pay for you to go out to coffee and they'll have fun happy hours. And so it was just an eye opener for me. And so I think I was also very happy to be there, felt very like grateful to be there, which is kind of funny. Like, when you think of, you know, like, mm-hmm. they were paying me and I was doing a job, but I was like, yes, I'm a part of it. So the core topic that we wanted to discuss today was this concept of going from colleagues to work friends to the dreaded work bestie. I have a lot of feelings about that term. Astrid, when you and I were working together, you know, we were definitely, you know, strictly colleagues in the beginning. We were on the same team at the time, and it was a team of primarily like women that were around our age. And, you know, do you remember like, How did we get to that next step? Because I think that, like, as an adult, it's very difficult to make friends. And it's like, even in work too, right? You're trying to toe the line of being professional and like, you're probably collaborating on projects, but it's work-based. So, you know, what do you think it was that like took us from that work colleague to then becoming work friends?
Yeah, there's a few moments that stand out. And I think the first is we went to get coffee. And it was the first time we'd probably spoken outside of the office. And you were telling me about how you studied social work and some of the activism you'd done. And I thought that was really cool. And it was also a bit of a glimpse at the person outside of this corporate environment I know them in. And so it sort of gave me this, oh, like there's more to this person. And so I really liked that. And then I remember the first time that you said your edge came out a little, your personality. At this company, we got free lunch a few days a week. And again, I was, you know, had been working in China. I thought, this is amazing. And every Monday it was salad. And I quickly learned that Mary is not a fan of salads. And there was one Monday where you were like, I hate salad Monday.
Oh my god.
And I was like, oh, okay, there's you know, this sweet southern woman with her pixie cut. I was like, okay, I see there's something else going on underneath the surface. And so that's when I knew. I was like, ooh, I like edgy woman. edge sees edge.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I still am kind of a salad hater for sure,
but I've made you some kale salads now.
That's true. I don't know what it was. It's like, it's a Monday and then you have to eat a salad as well. I would also say that I remember too that when we were kind of like our friendship, or our, at least our work friendship, was budding, you know, I think like we've said, we were sort of in this place where we were like, we want to make an impact and we want to stand out at the company. And so we were like, let's go to yoga. And, you know, we kept being like, let's go work out, let's go to yoga. And every time we would try to go to yoga, we would just go out for drinks. And so I think we had this idea of like who we were and who we wanted to be, but really we just, you know, I think we were just like, we just bonded over drinks. And I don't even actually know if we ever went to yoga. Did we go to yoga together one time, maybe, in our entire friendship?
Much later.
Yeah. Less bonding happens over yoga, I think. What do you think that transition is like, and how do you think you go from that colleague to maybe that work friend or that work bestie, mm-hmm. work wife, if you will?
So I would say there's definitely a period of assessment, right? You know, you're sort of getting to know people in the office, identifying potential candidates. You're sourcing.
Yes.
And then for me, at least, when I think of what I look for in a work friend, it needs to be someone who's going to be authentic with you. And I think that's something that I identified in you. There were a few meetings where I could tell, like, oh, okay, she's seeing that thing. Like, we're both seeing this. And I think that's a wonderful feeling because it's so validating. Like, I feel sort of funny about this, or I hear this way, and realizing, oh, there's this other person who also is. And then the next step is you have to put out a little nibble and see if that person chomps down on it. And so, you know, it's sort of like, oh, what'd you think of this? And if you get a pat answer, like, oh, you know, I thought it was great, it's a sign of the company's value or mission, then it's like, okay, I don't know about this person as a candidate. But I think we both had some really authentic conversations, and it made me feel as though, okay, this is someone who I can really share with, and it really laid a foundation for what, you know, clearly we're here now. It became right. A really authentic and genuine connection in that way. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that there is that evaluation period where you're really assessing people out, and you're seeing how they react in meetings and seeing kind of like what the vibe is. And I do think, like, when you get outside of work and you like can have those more personal conversations, that helps as well. I don't know, maybe working in tech, maybe it's a lot of industries, but it sort of feels like we put these companies on a pedestal, and we think, you know, when you go through an interview process, right, you're trying to impress. And then when you get in there, you're like, oh, wait, these are regular people. And maybe I thought, oh, this is a dream company to work for. But then you find out, yeah, it's just normal people, and there's dysfunction, and there are challenges and issues. And I think that I'm just happy that you and I were able to connect and be like, oh, we're just regular people. And, you know, maybe we have aspirations of going to yoga, but we're really, really just going to go out for drinks.
Okay, Mary, so lay it on us. How do you feel about the term work bestie?
Okay, are you ready? So I hate the term work bestie.
Okay, coming out strong. Okay.
I think there's a cringe factor to it for me. I also think this is probably a personality trait. I'm definitely a bit of a hater. So if there's anything that a lot of people are into or becomes more mainstream, I'm not interested. So
Mary's not like the other girl.
Yes, I know. I'm so unique. I have such a unique perspective. No, but for real, yeah. I think the other thing too is that it borders on like a buzzword for me, and buzzwords are something that I'm just like vehemently against. I find them so obnoxious, and I just hate being in situations where I'm communicating with someone and they're saying so much, but yet they're saying nothing. And that's usually when they're just using buzzwords. And so it's a no for me on work bestie. What do you think?
So I don't think my feelings are quite as visceral. I do agree. I can't imagine ever saying it. Like, the thought of telling someone like, oh, Mary's my work bestie, or like, gotta go hang out with my work bestie.
So awkward.
It also feels a little bit immature, like something that maybe, you know, when you're in your early 20s, you would say, but as, you know, we are two mature working women.
Exactly.
And so I think I'd prefer the term close confidant. That feels more appropriate.
I like it. From colleague to work friend to close confidant.
Exactly.
Into it.
I will say, though, that one thing I do like about it is that it does imply a closeness. And I think when you are working together and you find that close confidant, that work bestie, that work wife, that is a really special thing. And so I do like the term in that way, that it's more than, we're more than colleagues, we're more than friends, that you are my person at work. And so I do like it from that aspect of showing how special that bond is.
Yeah, it makes me think of too, you know, having a friend at work is a big determiner of happiness. And I just remember all of those like engagement surveys, doing them at different jobs over the years. And there's always like one question that's like, do you have a friend at work? And it's like, because if you don't, you might be kind of miserable and feel disconnected. And so, yeah, as much as it is cringy, I do think like the meaning behind it and just knowing that you have somebody that you can count on. And I think that was really helpful for us because we were able to have conversations that, you know, you couldn't have with your boss, or you couldn't have with like someone who's more of a loose connection at work. You know, I remember in all those times we were going out for drinks, we would be able to talk about things pretty openly, like salary. And it was very validating to be able to share that, because if you hear from someone, okay, this is how much you're making. Okay, wow. Now I know that I can go and advocate for myself.
That's so true. And I think it can also be valuable because you have that connection with someone who's seen exactly what you're seeing and who has all the context. So if there is an issue at work or something you're grappling with, yes, you can get advice from other people, but there's nothing like getting advice from someone who knows exactly the personality you're working with, who knows exactly, you know, the nitty gritty of the workplace and that workplace culture. So I think that also can be such a valuable source of information too, that you might not get with, you know, a friend, however well-intentioned, because they just don't have the same context that that close confidant does.
And it also reminded me of just, I think there were many times where you talked me off the ledge where, you know, again, we'd be in the same meeting, seeing the same thing, but like I would have a reaction to it, which I won't say was negative, but I think that I felt passionate about like a decision that was being made or something that was happening. And you were able to be like, okay, like, yes, that happened, but like, give me another perspective and help me kind of see a different side of it, and definitely talk me off the ledge. So I did many, many times. And that is the value of having someone so close at work who can be honest with you. And I think that that's what I've also appreciated about our work relationship and now, you know, friendship, is that we've been able to be honest with each other. Yeah. And I think that that's kind of what brings us to, you know, potential pitfalls of having a close work confidant. Like, what do you think, Astra? Do you think there are any pitfalls?
Definitely. It can be so wonderful to have that person to vent to, and that can be really valuable in certain situations. But, and I think we never got incredibly negative, but there were times when, especially towards the end of our time at this company, we both were feeling pretty frustrated. And again, it was great to have someone who understood that, but I think we could almost build each other up with it, right? One of us would have a complaint, the other would, yeah, you're right, that's ridiculous. And there was definitely some truth to it, but it could make the issue bigger than it really was. And so I think that can definitely be a pitfall, is that you have to be careful that you're not spiraling into a negative place together. And then I also remember there was a time we had a disagreement at work, and it was hard because at that point we were very close. So I was not only disagreeing with my coworker, but I was disagreeing with a really close friend, and it made the disagreement, which was pretty minor, feel much larger. So I think that can also be difficult. Work does become more of your life if you do have those close relationships there.
100%. And to your point about venting, I do think that we leaned into that so hard at one stage. And I think that, you know, we became increasingly more frustrated with things that were happening at work. And so we'd be like, okay, get to GChat. Like, let's talk in GChat, because, you know, we didn't want to talk in the work approved messaging app, Slack. So we would, you know, we would be like, get to GChat. And then we would just vent. So it's the name of this podcast is Meet Me by the Dumpster, which is inspired by true events, inspired by, you know, in that period of time where we had a lot more complaints and we were really venting. And I think that in a lot of ways we had become really negative and disillusioned to what was happening at our company. And, you know, we used to go out for coffee a lot together, and that was also one of the, you know, perks of working at a tech company. It's like a nice coffee culture, but we'd go out to coffee a lot together. But then we started to become, I think, increasingly paranoid about the number of times we were going out to coffee. And so we were like, oh, okay, so we don't want our bosses to see, or we don't want people to see us going out together all the time. So you go first and then I'll come after. And it's like, this is like kind of ridiculous in hindsight. Well,
just the idea that we thought anyone really cared or was keeping that close of tabs on us.
Exactly. No one cared what we were doing at all, but we were like so paranoid. And I just remember, I don't know if it was you or me, but one of those times where we were like, let's meet outside one of us was like, okay, meet by the dumpster. And it became this like, you know, this imaginary meeting spot where it was just like one of us would take the elevator and then the other person would take the stairs. And there was no dumpster. This is a fake dumpster. But it became kind of a funny long running joke between us as, okay, we've got to talk about this outside of work. So you know, meet me by the dumpster. And that's why this podcast is called Meet Me by the Dumpster.
It's also funny because we were doing this to not seem sort of suspicious or weird, but it's actually probably much weirder. I'm sure there's someone who's like, huh, 2 minutes later, Astrid goes down right after Mary.
Right. Like,
are they dating? It would have been just much more normal just to leave together, but no.
Right. But again, to that point, we were in a headspace that I think was becoming increasingly negative. And also, the culture at that workplace at that time was, there was a lot of secrecy and there were a lot of people kind of running around the office because we were in an office, you know, full time at that point. And were, you know, there was hushed voices. People were running into meeting rooms and it sort of always felt like, oh, what's going on? Like, are we going to get fired? Like, what's happening? And so I think we kind of fed off that energy too of, oh no, we have to like watch our back, which maybe is a bit of a jaded perspective, but it did lead to, I don't know. I think it led us to be closer in that sense. But then to your point of the pitfalls, I think at one point we were like, we're too negative. Mm. So we had to kind of reel it in. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I think we started saying we'd vent and then we'd say like, okay, we each have to say one good positive thing, which is actually a good thing just in life in general.
It is. Yeah, I do remember we would take notes of positive things that happened and we would check in with each other of like, okay, what's something that you're grateful for? What's a win? Yeah. Or was it you that told me about the idea of saving like a file on your computer of like positive things or positive feedback that you received? And I do think that stuff helps.
And we've had so many conversations about work, the things that are hard, talking about the things it brings up for us. And wanted to start this to explore some of those further and really investigate, oh, why do we feel this way in that situation? What was really happening? And to also think about what are we bringing into the workforce from our own pasts? And I think when I entered the workforce, I thought, oh, you know, you just show up at your job. And over the past, you know, 10 years or so that I've been working, you realize it's about so much more than that. And it really does bring up so many things about relationships, how we present ourselves to the world, how we do or don't relate to other people. And so, yeah, just looking forward to having more conversations about that. I think I also have a desire to get to the truth of the matter with some of these things. How much of this is this workplace? How much of this is me? And to understand what's really happening here. And so looking forward to going a little deeper on some of these topics and getting into the messy middle of all the things work.
Me too. And I was also thinking about how, you know, it's so easy, particularly when you're earlier in your career, to get really, really focused and almost have tunnel vision on like, you know, the thing that you're doing, the project that you're working on, or like, you know, for me, the decision that a company made. And it's important to just be able to take that step back and realize this is one piece of your life and it is important, but there's so much more. I think for me too, that work has always been a huge part of my identity and because it's where I've been successful. So, you know, I've fed off that energy and maybe other parts of my life, maybe personal relationships or other areas of my life, I haven't felt as confident. And so I have attached a lot of meaning to work because of that, because it feels like that's the area where I succeed.
Do you currently have a work bestie, Mary?
Work confidant? No. I do not.
Pardon me.
I do not. I am in a kind of a different phase of my career. I am freelancing right now, and so I don't have a work, I guess, which has been an interesting change of pace for me. And yeah, so I don't have, you know, sort of that like a team that I'm on where I'm, you know, working day in and day out with the same people. And so I haven't really had the space to develop those stronger connections. But I'm okay with that. I'm in a different life phase and I think that's okay. What about you?
I like that answer because I think that means that I'm still your closest work confidant then.
We'll see. Oh, okay. We'll see how this podcast goes.
I also do not have a close confidant at work currently. And I think part of it is being remote. It is just a little harder to foster those close relationships in a remote environment. And when we met, I was new to New York. I was definitely in more of a friend-making phase. And not that, I think it's important to make friends at all stages of your life, but it just isn't as much of a priority. I think at that company, I was really looking for it, and I'm not looking for it as much right now.
Okay, but, so no new friends for you, Astrid.
But maybe I should be exploring. I think I'm going to, I'm going to start trying to put out little nibbles and see if I get anything.
So okay, okay. We'll
see. Maybe by the time we record again, I'll have more to report.
Keep
maybe
us I'll have a new confidant. Keep me posted.
We've got lots of great topics ahead. We're going to be covering some petty drama at work, but also getting into the nitty-gritty of this like professional performance that we're all playing and talking about things like how do you navigate like a conflict with a coworker?
Work nemesis.
Personal favorite topic.
Yes, love that one. I think everyone should have a work nemesis. You just got to keep it in check. Don't take it too far.
I'm Mary.
I'm Astrid.
And this was
Meet Me by the Dumpster.